As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello,
Devin. All right, what do you got for us today?
Don't be so humble. You are not that great.
That's a good one for everybody to remember. Don't be so humble. You're not that great.
Yeah, take it easy.
That's funny.
That's it. I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I wonder, like, where does that fit best?
I don't know. It's from because sometimes I get quotes from Goodreads, so people pull stuff straight from books.
Yeah.
Golda Meir. I don't know the
author.
I don't know the author, but it just popped up, and I thought it was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's either someone's, like, acting too, like, oh, thank you, everyone, blah, 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 and all that type of stuff, when it's like, well, just, you know, take it easy.
Yeah.
Don't be so humble.
You're pushing a little far. You're doing a little much. You're doing too much. That's my.
I feel so blessed that you people like my whatever. It's like, all right. They like yours and 1,000 other people, so.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Right. I know. It's like, when is it appropriate to be really humble? And when is it like, when is it, you know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. The best part of being humble is not being a braggart, in my mind.
Right.
You don't even have to bring up that you're like, you know, it's, don't be so humble. You don't brag, but also speak clearly and without too much emotion sometimes when it's something simple, I think, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, this is great. Got a lot of views. That's it.
Sorry.
It might not be the greatest piece of work ever done. It might have just got a lot of views.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, don't get too overworked.
Yeah, especially with the way, like, the algorithm works now. Who knows, you know, like, why one thing gets tons of views and another thing doesn't. You know, it's like some little bit of data somehow, you know, is higher than some other time for some reason, which could just be that, like, the exact moment you put it on, there were like 50 more eyes on this one thing, and they all clicked at the same time. And so it's like, ooh, 50 people clicked the same thing at the same time. Oh, there must be something there, you know? So let's push it. Push, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? No, I think,
sorry, real quick. I was going to say, I think if you're lucky enough to get a couple videos with a lot of views, you should take that and live with that.
Right.
And, I mean, continue on, like, you know, like we all kind of do. But it's like one hit wonders being pissed that they had to continue to play that one hit. It's like, look, you were the 1% right. of artists who even got noticed. There's a million exactly. bands that no one knows their name, but people know your name because you got one hit. So just play the stupid hit. Be happy that you had a hit, and then like that's it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I was just listening to the Making It podcast on the way home, and as Jimmy was talking briefly, this is one from early in January. He's talking about the video that he put up with the tips and tricks from his dad after his dad passed away, Jimmy DiResta.
That was great.
And yeah, it was a great video. And he was saying like how in the first few days he kept changing the thumbnail, trying to get it to do better. You know, he was like, and it's like, you know, if Jimmy's doing that, he's trying to mess with the algorithm, you know, where he's got a big community. He's got tons of support, you know, and it's been doing for a while. Like, what are the rest of us, you know, who stands a chance? Nobody. Cause no one really knows exactly how it works. We're just all hoping that, you know, I don't know. I think the, you know, just keep doing what you love. Like you said, yeah, just be happy for what you get and keep doing what you love. And that's, yeah it's hard to know. It's hard to predict anything on YouTube. You know, you try, like you can go with the fads and stuff, and you can chase the algorithm or chase the fads, but I don't know.
You just do it. Put it out there and be done with it.
Yeah, right.
If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not gonna, I mean, very few people it's gonna be all their income. So
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's such a small percentage now.
Be happy if you're getting anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you're getting cash to make videos, it's a good deal.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, exactly. It makes it, and that's like anything. If you can benefit from any of your hobbies, you know, like, oh, right. Cool, you know, I'm going to do this thing anyway. I like doing it. So if somebody else likes it and they want to give me some money for it, that's cool. Like, right on. Awesome. Hopefully enough people want to see it.
Speaking of some money, just started up the AOC Outpost, Art of Craftsmanship Outpost, right, on Etsy?
Yeah. Yeah, I just started that one. So Nicole and I, my wife and I, have been like thinking about just other ways to make more money, more income. And so
your daughter out of the house first.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Actually, and then there's all types of college stuff. I need this for this. Yeah, shit.
Yeah, I know. And she's almost to like driving age. And
oh, then, boy.
Yeah, to put it's going to get worse
before it gets better, then, I guess.
I know, right.
And then they're 25 and engaged and need help with this. And, oh, I don't have money. Exactly. Then they need to get married. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and actually, I think it may even have started around, like, when we were redoing the studio, which was about a month ago or so. Just going through, like, tons of old artwork and stuff, tons of paintings and drawings and things that, like, I don't have to keep, you know.
I was going to say, that's when it started, that we realized we didn't have any money. We were cleaning stuff out and had this great studio. We needed to buy something from IKEA, and we said, man, I don't know if I can spend the $20
bucks on this. We need to make more money.
On that IKEA thing.
But yeah, it was just like there's a lot of stuff here that we could sell, you know, and not just like, you know, not flea market stuff, but like art and craft stuff that like made things that I've made over the years, and then, you know, things that we could make, and, you know, things that we do make, or things that I make, and things that Nicole makes, and, you know, what's the best way to go about it. We thought maybe we do a website, like a Shopify or something, or whether it's Etsy, or whether it's, what's the platform that all the YouTubers, website creator, something, I can't think of it off the top of my head. But, you know, I was like, okay, well, should we start a website? Should we do this? And then I was like, well, I guess the easiest way in this and the most secure way is, you know, just something like Etsy, which is a well-known, you know, shopping platform, shopping and selling, and you know, so
and also I'm trying to do things at once. That's my fault. It's my bad. My bad. If people don't know about the YouTube channel or the podcast, they might still also stumble upon it. If you have our own website that sells stuff from that, they will not. So there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, because because Etsy's such a big platform.
Right, right. They might just be looking for knives, or they might just be looking for a leather thing, or this or that, and it might pop up.
Yeah, so it's like I'm putting things into a bigger community where people can find them on their own just with hashtags and tags and stuff, as opposed to only selling through like Instagram, right? Which obviously I have a fairly decent sized platform on Instagram. You know, I could sell that way, which has worked sometimes in the past and, you know, could still work, but I could like, I can show things on Instagram and then send people to the Etsy site to buy them, right? So it's not like, I'm not like I have to change the way I do it. I can send it through that way, and then the other people will find it without having to follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, I would say you start out putting some certain things out on Instagram. See if you get a, because then you don't, then Etsy doesn't have to take a chunk from, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Start exactly. there, and then right. be like, reach out in the next like, you know, 2 days, and the rest of them will be on Etsy.
Right. Yeah.
But if you want to reach out to me, you know, we can right. get it done that way. But other stuff, you know, I'll have more of these on Etsy.
Right. And like you said, then the people who I don't know can just go, you know, through Etsy. They'll find it that way. People who I do know, or people who I, you know, through Instagram, know us that way, you know.
Yeah.
And cool. some of the, I was talking to Nicole about how do you, you know, where's your protections if I'm selling through like, you know, like PayPal or Venmo, you know, like what's the protection?
Well, you get the money first and then you send the thing, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's the protection is more, it's not a fraught transaction on the seller's end. It's potentially a fraught transaction on the buyer's end.
Right.
Right. So buying things through just like paying something through PayPal, you don't have any guarantee you're getting what you're getting. Now, PayPal has some guarantees, right? They have some backing. Venmo's less.
Right.
You know, so like what I've been doing, if I'm selling through Instagram, I'll say, you know, do it PayPal friends and family, right? Because that's like, then the friends and family actually like doesn't take any, if you just do regular PayPal, they do some fees and things. You do friends and family, they don't do any fees. Now, the people buying from me don't have any, like when you do friends and family, you lose some of the protections that you would get through PayPal as a buyer.
Yeah, but right? you know, I mean, that's a thing. If you were, but they know you're a smaller maker, so it doesn't.
Right, exactly, and that's the other thing. Like most people,
they know.
Well, I don't know, most people, at least I do, from the makers that I follow, and when they're selling things and they do it that way, I trust them, right? Because they do it all the time. Like I know, like if they were ripping people off, we would know. The community would know, right? Like, so people who follow me on Instagram and want to buy something, they know us, they know the channel, they know the podcast. You know, like
there's too much on the line to be cheating people out of stuff because you know it's a social thing already.
Yeah.
But, so cool. So there'll be selling stuff there, putting random things there. If Nicole makes stuff, it'll just be from the Art of Craftsmanship family, and you'll know
right, what Dustin exactly. makes. Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking.
It'll be
like,
really nice.
Yeah. Naming it the like Art of Craftsmanship Outpost, so it's kind of like, you know, it's just something that's out there for people, like you said, in the Art of Craftsmanship family to sell things through. So whether it's me or you or Nicole or Corinne or whoever, right? So we can kind of, it's just
your last name has to be O'Hara.
Right, exactly.
The O'Hara
the
Outpost.
Family. The O'Hara Outpost. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put some stuff on to see how much I get some hits. I'll just get like, you know those like solo cup with a string and a sponge? You make a turkey call?
Oh, yeah.
I'll do like, or maybe I don't know why it's all turkey themed, but I'll do a hand with a turkey on the thumb. And I'll put some craft feathers on the fingers.
You gonna sell some latex gloves as turkey heads? You know,
ooh, like here
put
we
them
go.
On and blow it through your nose and blow it those up.
So come Thanksgiving, folks, it's gonna be bonanza.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
You can get that's gonna be good deals too.
A box of 100 for $10
turkey cup.
The string, the sponge. That's pretty good. I forgot about that. That's fun. I'm gonna do that now.
That's a core memory somehow in my brain, that making that turkey cup. in like third grade.
The sign in is through our Gmail account. So if you just click on Gmail, it'll go right into it.
Oh baby, here we go.
You can, yeah, it'll be like changing my prices and stuff, putting like freaky pictures. They do take 10% basically, so it's like a 6.5% sales, you know, fee on top.
Yeah.
And then there's like a 3% seller fee or something.
Yeah,
so
some like 9.5% blah 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 fee.
Yeah. So unfortunately, right, the other thing is like if I sell through Instagram, if I sell to people that I know, it'll be a little bit cheaper, right? Because I'm going to mark it up in Etsy. So that way it comes up, you know, if I want to make a certain amount, say for like the sheep shear knives, I'm selling them for $200. That's including shipping. If you go through Etsy, you pay the 10% extra. So 220 plus shipping, like it all is calculated.
So just do like 250
that way.
That's also another way to do it, though, is you go like, hey, these 200 for this week, and then next week they'll be on Etsy for 250. Mm-hmm. That's it. So that gives people another little push to buy if they're thinking about it.
Right.
It's like any sale. It's just another like, hey, oh, they're okay. Well, I do want one. I've been thinking about it. And so next week will be 250. Let's just do it now.
Yeah, I've had two people reach out to me about buying some of the Viking EDC knives.
Mm.
So those are going to be made and then posted. One is a guy who already bought something from me, and one's another guy who he hasn't contacted me yet, but he was like, hey, where can I buy this? You know, I want to buy one. So that'd be cool. I'll be able to be like, all right, it's going to be in the Etsy store. It's here, or I can reach out directly, you know, beforehand and do it that way.
Right.
But I actually have 8 more profiled, so steel, you know, trimmed down, profiled, drawn, and then I, you know, using the Bill Behnke file guide, I've done all the shoulders and stuff, so everything's ready to go. And I just need to grind bevels and then do heat treat, because the first set that I did, the first 5, were made from files, but they were not annealed, right? So the files were exactly how they come from a file. So I just did all my grinding and did all the shaping by keeping them cool, so that way I wouldn't have to do any heat treat. But then this next batch, the 8 that I have, are all ones that I have annealed, files that I have annealed in the past, so they're all softer, so they'll go through a normal heat treating cycle and all. So they'll actually be a little bit closer to the actual hardness of a normal knife, because obviously files are really hard. So anything that I do, a blade made with a file is going to be harder than it would be for a standard knife. Now these are small knives, like small EDC, they're less than 3 inches, so it doesn't matter as much for like a small knife like that. That's kind of a, you know, a daily use knife for normal things. You're not like prying with it, because, you know, if they're files that haven't been heat treated, then they're pretty hard, so they have the chance of cracking and snapping, you know, easier than they would with a heat treated knife. But the next batch that I'm making, the next 8, will all have a normal heat treat process. So there'll be a regular kind of hard use knife hardness. So it should be good.
How much will they be?
They're gonna be the same price. So they're $200. And actually, so
or $250 on Etsy or something.
Yeah. I think 200, but they like I'm not sure. So I'm thinking around 200, but they may be a little bit more, just because I'm going to be putting sheaths for all of them. And so that add a little bit more money. So maybe 250, on Etsy. But yeah, that way I can get the 230 or whatever out of it for each one, which that'd probably, you know, add an extra, like, so the reason why they're not that expensive, but I mean, I think like $200 for like a cool, you know, belt knife is okay. Mm-hmm. Kind of on the low end of belt knives. Because these will go through the normal heat treat process, but also because they're a simple design, right? So like simple knife, simple handle, it's something that I can make quickly. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, because of the simplicity at which I'm making them, the speed at which I can make them, I can sell them for cheaper. So if I was doing like, you know, full tang knife with liners and a shaped handle, and
it's a lot of gluing, know, waiting for a different.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So these I'm making specifically to be like something I can make quickly. And because I can make them quickly, I can sell them for cheaper.
Yeah. We can shoot some quickly too. Million yeah. glue ups.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool. Cool. We'll check that out, folks.
Yeah, so check it out. Yeah, AOC Outpost on Etsy. That's the store. The store name is AOC Outpost. And yeah, right now there are the sheep shear knives up on there. The listing doesn't really go into a ton of it yet. I've been putting more pictures in, but there is a post up there. So those are $200. And you know, again, the same thing, right? There's not a ton of extra, I mean, there's time and effort that go into them, but it's less than a full custom knife, right? Less than like a fully ground or heat treated or forged, you know, with those, you know, I'm taking an existing knife shape and then I'm making it into, I'm re-grinding bevels and then, you know, modifying it and putting on handles and gluing and finishing. So they definitely take some time, but I like the projects that I can, you know, like I've done enough handles. I mean, I've done enough knives from scratch. And they take time and I like doing them and I'll still do more, but it's nice to have ones that are just like, I can kind of go around some of those processes, you know, cause they're already done.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and I'm, you know, it's not like I'm trying to hide it either. I'm very like specific about it with those. Like these are, you know, sheep shear knives made from repurposed old sheep shears.
Yeah,
you know, most of them were not heat treated. And I'll put, you know, some of them I had to heat treat cause they weren't as hard as I wanted them to be. And then, so I put them through the heat treat process and hardened them up. But most of them are, you know, they're throwing good sparks. So they already have like the high carbon and they're already designed. They're already heat treated because they're cutting utensils. Like they're just cut that way. So,
yeah.
Cool, and man, do those knives cut well. They're so nice to use. I've really enjoyed using the ones that I have, and I've heard from a lot of different people that they really enjoy them, like, you know, separately. People who don't know each other are like, this is great. Like, they'll use a little bit, and then they'll come back to me and be like, man, that's such a nice knife to use. Like, the shape is good. It's got the nice little tip. It's light. It's, you know.
It's also included, not even really included, the price is you sourcing that material. Finding them, you know, they're not, you can't just buy them. You have to look around for them and find them and buy cool ones and clean them up and all that stuff. No, I like the history of those things.
Yeah.
It's gives you the fizz a little bit. You pick it up, you know, it's not just some like stamped Chinese, whatever. Yada, yada, yada.
Right. Yeah. You can see the history there. It's like, yeah, it's got a cool story to it. Yeah.
I forgot a drink. You want to tell a little bit about the Viking the Viking stuff we did? No, I'll be right back.
You hear me over here drinking? I'm so thirsty.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right, so Viking Challenge, this is the YouTube Knife Maker Challenge Viking Edition, which is going on right now, and all of our videos will be posted on, I think it's April 14th, 17th, something like that. I did post a video in the on YouTube I'm going to look it up just to double check, in the community section. So we've posted the challenge there. So that that's just the like little intro video. But that kind of, if you're uncertain about what that is, the YouTube Knife Makers group has been doing challenges for now for the last couple of years. We've obviously you know, done some, we've had Dennis Tyrell and Eric Lees from Alien Knives. We've had them on to talk about the challenge to announce winners multiple times. Some of them we've been able to do. I know we've talked about that on the podcast before, where we've been like had to drop out, you know, halfway through or something because we just didn't have time to be able to do what we wanted to do for the challenge. But this time we're doing the Viking Challenge. It's really fun. And I had a great idea right off the bat to make a Viking axe. And so I kind of thought about like what I'd want to do for a Viking axe. And decided that with the capabilities that I have with my like forging equipment and my interests in axes, You know, I've done, and the history of what I've done with axes, modifying axes, I figured it'd be kind of fun to do an axe head, you know, using a vintage axe head and make a modified axe rather than making an axe from scratch or forging an axe out, which, you know, I'm sure that, like, people are probably going to be doing that. There's probably going to be a lot of saxes or a lot of, like, Viking swords and things in the challenge. But I'm doing an axe head, a Viking axe head, and modifying a vintage axe head down, shaping it to be the, you know, style based off of kind of, you know, early to mid 800s, 900s, up into the thousands, that kind of time period, the time period of the Vikings. So I kind of did some research of historical axe head shapes from that time and used that to make kind of what I wanted for the design. I did start with an axe head that was broken, so the cheeks, there was a crack in one of the cheeks, and so it was going up into the eye of the axe head. So I used that, and it was a perfect chance to actually reuse that axe head because I thought about possibly welding it or getting it welded and chained, you know, and fixed, which would have been fine, and you know, I could have done that, but it's not a. It's an older axe head, but it's not marked. I think it may have been a newer, quote unquote, newer plum because there is remnants of the permabond, the red permabond inside the eye. So if people are familiar with axes, they know that, Plum and some other companies did what they call the permabond. So inside the eye, they would fill it with like a red epoxy that fills in around the axe head. So instead of using a wedge, they do the red permabond. And they did it, I would probably say, like sometime in the 60s and 70s they started it. This axe head may have been from the 70s or 80s because it didn't have anything marked on it, but some of the later ones didn't. But yeah, so it was already broken. It already had a crack in it. I thought it'd be a good chance to reuse it and a really good way to do something that people could do on their own. That's another thing I like about these the YouTube Nightmaker Challenges and our videos in general is that, like, we do things that people could do, right? And that's something that's been part of our channel all along. It's like, okay, this is what I'm doing, and this is how I'm doing it. Yes, I have some tools that maybe not everybody has, but a lot of the tools I have are things that people have. So, you know, using this, using an angle grinder, using a belt grinder, you know, you can definitely reshape and reuse and modify an existing axe head and make it into something cool, you know, especially if you're doing any type of reenactments or you just want a cooler looking axe head that's maybe lighter but, you know, good for bushcrafting or good for camping or, you know, but you don't necessarily want like a really small bit. So this gives me like a nice big cutting edge but a smaller head, which is a little bit less weight on it. So that's what we're working on. We started filming the other night and we'll have that. That'll be out mid-April with all the other YouTube knife makers doing the Viking Challenge, which should be fun.
Yeah, man.
I like the idea of the Viking Challenge. Devin, I was working through some, like, design ideas today for the head.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've found on a few different axe heads from that time period, because there are some, you know, historical artifacts and things that have been found, is that they have this like X shape over the cheeks where the eye, you know, where the wood handle goes up through the eye of the head, and then this kind of X shape that goes over it. And I think it's like it mimics the way that like a leather wrap would be if you wrapped it around the head and it's like bound crisscrossing the head on both sides.
Right.
I kind of like that idea. And so, and I've also seen heard or read some stuff about a lot of times, you'll see the symbol of the like cross with the curled arms, right? So you get like a four, like a plus sign, but at the end of each arm, it's like curled into a little spiral. You know, and they all go the same direction, spiraling all the way around. So I kind of liked that design. I was kind of started playing with that, as well as playing with ways to work the AOC runes into not necessarily that design, but somewhere else on it, which would be kind of fun. So, you know, maybe doing the AOC vertically. So it's kind of, it looks a little bit more runic and not exactly like our logo, but it's worked into the design somehow.
Yeah, cool. I saw some... You saw it's like the leather, the crisscross leather wrapped handles with the runes in between. you know?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
You know, you can almost, you could even do AOC there, too, where you have, like, a couple traditional Viking symbols, and then in the middle, AOC, you know, and then a few more, like, regular ones.
Right, that's not a bad
Or
idea.
Maybe every other one, A, and then a traditional rune symbol, and then O.
Right. Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah. I like, you know, I kind of like, I mean, I want to etch it into the head somewhere because the head is a more permanent piece. Mm. Not that, like, you know, I don't know, because if you, obviously,
you're going to be chopping stuff with it.
Right, exactly. Wood is much more, you know, obviously axe heads last a long time, but the wood doesn't. But you know, so that's kind of why I'm leaning toward figuring out a way to work it into the head. But I also, I do really like that. I like the idea of putting it down the handle. That sounds like another good option for design.
Well,
so yeah. I'm happy with this. I'm happy with the design. I have it here in my hands. I'm kind of just playing with it and holding it. I really like it. The eye is a little off center. On the top, it's pretty even, but on the bottom, it's a little off center. So that's just like the product of it being punched. And so the one wall, the one's cheek side is a little thin, which is probably why it broke in the first place. But I was thinking about maybe grinding that one side down some. I'm not exactly sure, but just take a little bit more weight off of it. But I think also just grinding the bevels is going to take some weight off too. So not that it needs a ton of weight left, ton of weight gone, but it just lends itself to a few more modifications, which is cool. You know, I like the fact that you can take pretty much any axe head and just mod it up. And there's a Howling Winds Axe and Tool on Instagram. Glenn Hallworth, I think his name is. He does. He makes an axe head called what he calls the Revenant, but it's basically a modified Viking axe head type thing that he's done a lot of. And he started. He made one recently where he had someone forge it for him, or he forged it. But he made actually one from scratch. But every other one has been made from modifying, you know, existing axe heads. So. Kind of cool looking, you know, and I don't really mind it, especially if it's like a broken axe head or a cheap axe head. Of course, if this was a, you know, really nice vintage axe head, I probably wouldn't use that one. I'd use something. Yeah, I'd rather just buy a new cheap axe head.
Right.
And
there's
do that.
There's a million non special axe heads out there.
Right. Yeah. Ones that are marked or ones that, you know,
ones that they stamped out 200,000 of them.
You know, right. Like, yeah. Yeah. So. That's why this one was worked well for it. And I'm happy with it. And originally I was thinking I would just want to do some modifications to the bottom of the axe head. But then, like, the more I looked at different things, there's some, you know, shape to the top of the axe head as well. So I started to think about that combination. Like I said, it was a combination of, you know, designs from a certain time period that I liked. So the design is from history. It's not just out of my head, not just like oh, I want this to look like an axe, you know, a Viking axe head. It's like, this has some historical precedent, which I kind of like as well. So, yeah.
Cool, man.
But yeah, there's a lot of cool things happening. So, we have there's a Discord channel for all the different knife makers in the challenge. And so, we've been, you know, a lot of people putting stuff up and talking about what they're doing. And there's a lot of really cool projects going. So, it'll be fun. It's always fun to see what everybody does. You know, and whether or not it's like a real competition or just it's just a bragging competition, but you know, it's fun to see how well you do against other people. And but it's, you know, it's cool to see what other, and you know, really it's like we're a pretty tight-knit community and everyone's really supportive of each other in this group. So everyone's just really there to have fun and like have a close-knit group that we can all talk about and bounce questions off of. And hey, what do you think about this thumbnail? What about this thumbnail? Which one do you think is going to be better? How about this title? You know, it's like we're just a bunch of content creators who are doing the same thing, and we figured why not do it all together and see if it'll give us a bump, you know, help everybody out. So
cool.
It's cool. Yeah. And again, you know, obviously we haven't been able to do all of them, and that's fine. You know, some work out well, some don't, and this one just works out particularly well for our channel.
We can't do all of them. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Too many deadlines. It's just too much.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, it's just, it doesn't work for our channel every time, right? No. We just, you know, it's just not the way we work. You know, we can't always guarantee that we'll have a video out when we at a certain time. We just can't, you know.
Yeah, we just don't live that life. There's just a lot of other stuff to do.
Yeah. So although we really enjoy participating, we just can't always participate. But for this one, it worked out well. So yeah.
Yeah, all man. Right. Got some controversies.
Oh, all right.
One I didn't tell you about, which I guess I'll start with. It's only to me a controversy.
Okay.
Pamela Anderson.
All right.
So, for some reason, Instagram has been pushing Pamela Anderson on me. Maybe I looked at a picture or something, you know, one of those. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't? But
yeah,
she's got this whole thing where she doesn't wear makeup anymore and makes a big fuss about it.
Okay.
And that annoys the shit out of me. I don't care that she doesn't wear makeup. Right. But the way she goes about it, like, oh, I'm just free now, and it's, well, yeah, for one, now you're old, okay? So yeah. When you're super sexy and young, you use it to your advantage. You're in Playboy. Every job you get, you have your boobs out. You have a porn tape. You are on magazines. So you use that to your advantage. And then when you're 60, yeah, then you can take some of the makeup off because no one cares anymore.
Right, exactly.
So you're not some hero because now you don't feel like putting makeup on. And it wouldn't matter either way because you're old now. And your talent was looking hot.
Right.
And being, that's what your talent is. That's it. I mean, you acted some, but it's because you were hot. You were on Home Improvement because you were hot.
Oh, right. Yes.
You know
right.
what I mean? You're on magazine covers because you were hot.
Right.
So I don't know. That just, that annoys me. Like, it's like someone who is like a soldier all their life or a murderer or something, you know, and then all of a sudden they're old and they're like, you know, you guys shouldn't do that. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't fight anyone. Right. It's like, yeah, because you're too old to do it now.
Yeah.
But you spent right. all your life murdering people. And then you go, and then once you can't do it anymore, you say, don't murder. Say, yeah. No. You spent all your life with makeup and making women feel bad about themselves and being this pinup girl. And then at the end, you go, you know, guys, that doesn't even really matter. It's like, yeah, well, it's because you're old and ugly now, so.
It doesn't matter for you anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe if you would have done it at 25, I would have been like, yeah, you go, girl.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But at 60, it's not really a strong stance.
Yeah, all right. I hear you. That's... No, I agree. I think, yeah, you just.
Maybe that right, humble it's like, quote. You're not.
Yeah, that, right, exactly. Just, yeah, the humble quote.
Why don't you just stop wearing makeup and just stop wearing makeup?
Right.
How about that?
Yeah. Don't yeah, exactly. Big... And be like, and you know, you can talk about it. Be like, hey, I stopped wearing makeup. You know, like, it feels good.
Right. Like, but it's like every Instagram post is just her, like, no makeup and, like, talking about it. I'm like, all right. And again, I don't know how I got into that funneled Pamela Anderson Instagram. Like, none of my stuff.
Right.
You know. I don't know. That annoying?
I don't dare look it up now.
I'm going to lock you in.
I know. This is Pamela Anderson every day. Dang it.
Everyone's like, you're a hero. You're an inspiration. Like, because she didn't put on makeup. She's too old right. now to do it. She did it for years. It'd be like Marilyn Monroe telling you not to, like, sleep your way to the top.
Right.
It's like, that's exactly. what you did. That's how yeah. you got to where you are. And once you're done with it, you can't go, you don't need to do that.
Right.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean, you can, right, exactly, you know, you can try to be like, hey, this is what I did. Right, exactly, this is what I did, you know, and I'm saying now that, like, you know, if, hopefully you don't have to do it the same way I did, right? Right. Okay, cool, right, but I'm trying to change now.
But the only reason I am what I am is because I did that, and
right, exactly.
Now that I'm old, I can't do that anymore anyway, so you're not brave. Because you don't wear makeup. Like,
right.
There's millions of women out there who don't wear makeup and they just go to work.
Yeah. Yeah, and it like, doesn't matter if she wears makeup anymore.
Who cares?
Like, right, she already's made the name for herself, you know, by doing it, right? That's the whole point.
Right. The blood is on the ground.
Right, exactly.
So now, now you do it? Okay, you're a hero.
Right.
Everybody's a hero these days.
You're a hero.
You're a hero.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. It's not like she can be a role model for, you know, like.
And once the magazine offers stop coming in, and the pinup offers stop coming in, then you take the makeup off. That's just right. What should happen.
Right, exactly.
And I don't think you're a strong woman for doing it. You have no other option.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, now you're doing it to like...
Now you're trying to get more clout for just some like more, reversing. Yeah,
exactly. Like, right, now you're using it as like, I'm old and I'm not getting the job, so now let me take the makeup off and use that as another, a box to stand on, right? You know, like something yeah. to shout
from. She
needed
some more attention, so she just takes her makeup off and like, look at me. Like, yeah, that's what your face looks like. That's what a human face looks like.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You're just, that's what it should look like. You're old. You're old as shit. Mm-hmm. This is what you look like. It's okay.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. We all know who you are, right? We know from your history of who you are. Like, the whole world knows her by what we've seen her as. Like, the people who know her personally, they know her personally. And they're either going to like her or they're not, you know? The rest of the world, we know her through what we've seen her, which is... through pop culture and through movies and through shows and through Playboy and through sex tapes. And that's what we know. Like, you're not changing your perspective.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You watch? Yeah, you're a sex symbol.
Right,
and that's
exactly.
Okay, but don't expect to be relevant when you're 65.
Yeah.
You made that deal with the devil. It's over now. You got plenty of money and you were, you know, on plenty of shows and stuff, so
right.
Let it go, exactly. Lady.
Yep.
But maybe I'll go later tonight and look through her Instagram posts. I'll troll.
Anger looking.
You're so ugly now. You're old and ugly, shut up.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, why did I do that?
Stop trying to make all these pretty young women take off their makeup.
Yeah. So what are you ruining it?
You're ruining it. What are you doing? Stop. That's the thing. You know, when they're pretty and young, they don't need the makeup.
Exactly right. Yeah. All right. So, controversy two.
Okay.
Which is, I almost didn't bring it up because it's not really stuff we deal with. But we talk about meat eater and stuff. And I watched their video, Alaska Wolf Management with Clay Newcomb. Mm-hmm. Which we're fans of Clay Newcomb. And I'm, you know, big fan of Meat Eater and the show and all those guys. Love it. Big fan. So I started watching that. And again, the title is Alaska Wolf Management with Clay Newcomb. You could take that as it's like management could be anything.
Right.
It could be him just making sure they're okay and doing, you know, managing them, making sure they're fed, tagging them, that type of stuff. Or it could be what it was, a trapping video.
Right.
Where you go and trap and kill wolves. Now, and here's another weird thing, that the thumbnail is Alaska Wolves with Clay Newcomb. And he's holding a dog. But if you don't really look closely, you don't realize the dog's dead.
Right.
It almost looks like he could be on the ground with like a, you know, they go to some wolf sanctuary or something. Some dog sanctuary. And he like gets on the ground and it's like snuggling up to him. No, it's a dead dog in his hand.
Yeah, right.
So they actually just put out a podcast, him and Clay discussing it, because he got some negative feedback.
Right.
And Clay said he didn't want to name it Alaska Wolf Management. He wanted to just name it straight up, you know, whatever, you know, wolf trapping in Alaska.
Right, yeah.
With Clay Newcomb, or with whoever he's trapping with, to be clear. But, you know, the people said, like, you know, if you put wolf trapping in something, the algorithm will flag you.
Right.
And then, you know, people don't want to see it, or it's been flagged. You know, so it's like a lot of hunting stuff, anything with guns. But trapping is a little bit more controversial, so don't put that in your title. So they didn't. But and he's saying that's one of the things. He's like, I think, you know, some people don't know what's going to go on in the video. Right. So maybe when they do see it, they're more upset. And you get more letters and that type of stuff. So it's an interesting thing on what to... Like, if it was up to him, he would be more clear and honest about what it is.
Right.
Just to, so people knows, you know, obviously, if you don't want to see a wolf trapped and or killed, you know, don't click on this.
Right. Yeah.
But to almost, it's not tricking, because they're not trying to trick, but just to some people who might be wolf fans, you know, just coming like, oh, he's like snuggling one and wolf management. Cool. And then you're like, wait, what? You found one, and then you hear, like, a gunshot, and they're dragging the body off. And you're like, oh, my God. I didn't realize. Right. And so there's that. And I watched the video, and it's well done, like their videos are. But even, and my wife was watching with me, too. She was like, wait, what are they doing? I was like, I think they're trapping and killing them. Even I wasn't sure what they were going to do.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, sure enough, you know, you see these wolves trapped, and they're, like, growling at them and stuff, and then they don't show you shooting them, but you hear a gunshot, and then they're dragging away. It's kind of rough.
Yeah. Like
any trapping is just a harder thing to wrap your, like, I wouldn't do it. I would hunt a lot of things, I think. Right. Not that I do, but I wouldn't trap a lot of things. I just don't like the idea of, it could be days, could be longer. Just something stuck in a trap with a broken leg or something. You know, it's just not something that I really want to watch or would partake in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard. It's hard to swallow, right? I mean, it really boils down to, you know, it's a, like, what's the outcome, right? You know, so people who are willing to trap are people who are, you know, either hunting for food, right, or hunting for management.
But with wolves, here's another thing. Wolves, you don't really eat the meat. Mm-hmm. So it's only, I mean, if you want to say trophy hunting or something, or you're selling the furs.
Right.
Which, you know, that's how a lot of hunting used to be, but not anymore. Right,
yeah. And I mean, you know, that, like, you know, managing, like, with Clay and the guy that he was with, you know, they were talking about managing the population of wolves.
But he also said in it that up here in Alaska, you kill a couple wolves, it doesn't do anything.
Right, exactly.
It really doesn't do much. So they could have done it or they couldn't have done it. And really the dent it makes. So he's also saying, he's trying to be clear about, sometimes there are things like, hey, these things have to be hunted to manage the rest of the population of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, it's just not. It's just, this is what we're trapping, and we're getting wolf pelts.
Right.
And that's what it is. And we feel okay with it. This is how a lot of things are done. And yeah, they're harvesting the animal, like you do for many different reasons. They're harvesting the natural resource.
Right.
That's it. So you have to...
Yeah.
But it is, you know, they're dogs.
So yeah, that's,
everyone
that's
has dogs.
Said.
So you right, feel exactly. when you see a dog being dragged, it you're much more connected to that than you see a deer. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Right,
still
exactly.
Still a living thing that shouldn't...
Right.
You know, that you don't want to see dead necessarily.
Yeah, we've learned, I mean, it's the one animal, the one of the two animals in the world that has been domesticated. You know, like, highly domesticated, where, like, the majority of people in, like, the United States have or had a dog.
Right.
You know, like, that's, it's so common. So, yeah, that's, it is tough, right? Because we can empathize with them, right? We're like, wait, that looks just like my dog. That's just laying next to me you know?
Yeah, it's only a few steps away from.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in that situation where there are different areas and they're different farms and things, like, you need, there are obviously some, like, there's the benefit of, like, okay, you're gonna get the pelt, but also, like, if you do kill a couple wolves, if you can trap and kill a couple wolves in your area, well, then maybe it helps you for that season, right? Like, maybe next season you gotta kill a couple more because they're just gonna come back, right? So it's like, maybe it helps for a little bit. That's what they kind of said. Like, I remember him saying that, like, yeah, this will help, you know, it'll help for a little bit, but they're just going to repopulate here. Like,
right.
They're just
gone. Overall,
it's really not making a big dent in the population.
The thing is, whether they do it or not, not much changes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, in your head, go, well, it's for this or not. Well, no, it's either you can kill them and everything will be the same, or you cannot and everything will be the same. So you just have to be honest about why you're doing it. It's a part how you make your living. This is what you do, and you're okay with hunting.
Right.
And that's fine. And, you know, I think it's a... And then in the podcast, they were talking. Clay asks... well, what's his name? Ranella.
Yeah.
Yes. He's like, do you think... Is it better to just... Is it better for our calls as hunters to show this stuff or to just keep our heads down and continue to do it?
Right.
You know? And their conclusion was... It's better to tell your own story about something than let someone else do it.
I think that's true.
Yeah. So if you think there's something controversial and you don't say anything about it, you continue to do it, then people can just pile on all types of negative things about it.
Right.
Yeah. And if you're not defending yourself, people just start to accept that one thing. Like, yeah, well, they're probably guilty if they're not saying anything back.
Right.
But if you can explain yourself a little better... And at least put your own story out there, why you think it's morally okay, and this is a thing we want to do. But yeah, mainly I was interested because it's like, it tricked me.
Yeah.
I was going to watch it anyway. I like Clay Newcomb. Mm-hmm. I like wolves. So I was going to, and I like meat eater. So I was going to watch it anyway.
Right.
And I didn't know what was coming. And then...
Mm.
Caitlin was like, oh my God, I don't want to watch this. I was like, yeah, no, I get it. I was like, I understand. Yeah. I think I watched most of it and I just stopped watching. I was like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I watched it. I was not surprised. I assumed that's what was going to happen. I assumed they were hunting and I assumed management meant hunting. Not
well, I mean, wolves. I guess I should have thought that.
Right.
Seeing how it's meat eater content, but I've seen... what's the other guy? I forget their names. Not Clay Newcomb. What's the other guy's name?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But another...
one of the other guys.
Yeah.
There's Giannis and... Anyway, the other guy, he does involve himself in, because they do a lot of conservation stuff.
Right, yeah.
So, like, reintroducing bear and this and that and certain things, where they've had episodes where they're just, that's all they're doing. They're not killing anything. So I thought maybe this
is because, right, I mean, they're hunters, but, you know, majority of hunters are the biggest conservation, you know, conservators or whatever, right? Because they understand that this is a potentially a, you know, resource that is limited, right? So the only way to manage that is to manage the hunters, you know, and whether you're managing the hunters or you're managing the predators who are killing the prey, right? You know, like, and, you know, whether or not people think that's right or not, of course, that's something to be, you know, debated as well, whether or not we should, you know, put our hands into nature and try to control that. But, like, but we are part of nature, right? We're here as well.
Yeah, so, no, we have to be good stewards. And it's like, if we're living in these countries, which we are, we're not going anywhere, we do have to help control it.
Right, exactly. Because we've seen the evidence of, like, things being depleted, you know, like the wolves in Yellowstone, right, where, like, people killed them off because they were predators,
right,
and, like, they were gone completely, like, all the whatever millions of wolves that were in Yellowstone were all gone, and then they reintroduced wolves from other places into Yellowstone, and their population has grown again. So, like, you know,
millions. Like,
probably, I mean, over the years, whatever, maybe not millions, but
thousands of times.
thousands. but yeah, so, you know, like the buffalo, right? There were millions of buffalo. For sure. And then it was down to like 1,000 or something in our country.
And then there's things you introduce, pigs or whatever, goats or whatever, and they destroy habitat, and then you do have to harvest them. Or if you don't let the citizens harvest, then the state comes in and shoots them from helicopters. So what do you want to do? It's like California. Right, exactly. They've got a lot of issues with that stuff. They don't let people hunt. But then you don't want to see people hunt and put in the money towards all these things to conserve and keep different species alive. And then you go, okay, I don't want you to. And they go, well, we still have to do it. So you're going to pay for the state to once a year come in with snipers and just do it all in one day.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, so that's, you know, it's, people are like, oh, we shouldn't mess with nature, but, like, we're part of nature, right? Yeah, it's like,
we are
nature.
We live in it. What are you going
to do? Right, yeah, it's like our advanced brain, just because we can think about the moral, you know, prospect of what we're doing, doesn't mean we're any less of nature. You know, we are. It's what we're here for. We're all part of it, you know, like... It's like, you know, monkeys using tools to get in, you know, get ants out of anthills. Be like, oh, you shouldn't mess with nature. You shouldn't use a tool. Like, you should just stick your tongue in and try to get the ants out. Like,
smack it out of your hand.
What are you doing using a tool?
You're not smart like us.
Take a rock away from a raccoon who's breaking open a nut with a rock. Hey, no, don't mess with that.
You know, to teach it a lesson, you give it cotton candy and it tries to wash it in the water. You ever see that video?
No.
It disappears. He's like searching around with his little hands, like, where'd it go? It's a cool joke.
That's funny. Teach a lesson. You try to wash it.
Here you go. Eat this. You try to wash it in the water. It just dissolved. He's searching around with his little raccoon hands.
Where'd it go? That's cute. I got to watch that video. That's funny.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. So that's cool. Like, I think us as content creators, we do need to think about this stuff, right? We need to think about what types of things you put out there, and you need to make a decision, right? It's like, what's important to you? What are you trying to say? You know, are you willing to make exceptions for what you believe in to say something or to get more views, right? If you are, then okay, whatever, do it. You know, if you're not, then that's fine too. You know, it's just, and I think the bigger thing is, like, if someone's not doing something that is cruel, and unusual, right? Cruel and unusual. Mm-hmm. Then it's not up to other people to determine whether it's bad or not, right?
But and some like, people okay, well, some people determine other things are cruel, like trapping.
Right, but
because that I could see the point. I think they should be able to do it, but I also see that it's not a good way to kill an animal because, especially in Alaska, they don't have like limits on. Sometimes they have like check limits, apparently.
Right.
Where it's like it's 2 days. Every 2 days you gotta set. You gotta check it right. at least.
Right, but if you're following the law, and you know. There's a reason why.
I understand that, but I can see why you might think it's cruel, though, because they were talking about this guy who traps. He puts out 100 traps, and some of them are a four-hour boat ride from where he is. And when there's weather in Alaska, you just can't go for days at a time.
Right.
So let's say you set the trap, and then the wolf is like stuck there for a week.
Yeah.
That's pretty cruel.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
that's because that is a bad way to go, no matter how you spin it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I also think, you know, like there are people who are making the determination of what is,
mm-hmm.
you know, what can and can't be done. And if you're following the law, then you're following the law, right? Then you can't judge a person on that. I mean, sure you can, but I don't think you can. Like,
Pete is going to judge you. Whether they think,
right? Because of course, they think the laws are wrong, but it doesn't matter, right? Like maybe it's more the perspective of the person. Like, do you care if you're being judged or not? You know, if you're following the law and you're doing everything as right as you can do it, then oh well, you know, like people are going to judge you for eating meat. You know, meat's not illegal, but people who don't eat meat are going to judge you for eating meat. But those people shouldn't care. If they're being judged or not. I don't know. You know,
I hear you.
Yeah.
There's like,
so it's like, yeah, I mean, of course, if you're breaking the law, then you're taking on judgment, you know, like if you're going outside of what people have deemed correct and responsible for where you are, then I'm all about judging those people. Right. That's why the law is there.
But a law in one state's not the law in the other. So you're still doing the same thing, only 100 miles from the other thing. From the other, right. You know, so one doesn't make you a bad person, and one means you're not listening to you're breaking a law. But you know, a lot of laws are broken constantly. But I know what you mean. It's you. Yeah, there's a middle area for everything where you go. Yeah. I can see your point.
Right.
Yeah. I'm on the other side of it, but I can. And there's a lot of. You know, the area on either end where you just don't care. You're like, oh, stupid, shut up.
Yeah.
But trapping for me is in the middle area. I think people should be able to do it, but I also see people's points to, you know, where they go. Yeah, I don't want to watch that. I don't really want to hear about it.
Right.
And if it went away, I don't know how much I would care. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if all of a sudden they said, you can't trap wolves in Alaska. I'd go, man, that kind of makes sense, I guess. You
know? Like, right.
If it's not affecting anything, then...
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so...
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think there are a lot of people, a lot of places in the world who have done that, right? Because those places, like, the amount of whatever predator is in that place is not deemed, you know... too like bad for the environment, so
right. It's well,
they don't allow different types of things.
Like in England, you can't just go running, hunt stags, and you just can't. You don't have the freedom that we have here in that, and the amount of it that we have.
Yeah, right. The overpopulation or whatever. Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, that's why there are different laws in different places. Now, of course, like like you said, you know, what's 1 mile different, right? Because if there's a law in you know, one state that's different than another state, and you're 10 feet from the border, then you're within the law, right? And I think there was actually, I forget what the Meat Eater video was, but they were like hunting, maybe it was either Meat Eater or Clay Hayes, hunting like in an area really close to Yellowstone, but in the next state, right? Where maybe it was probably a Meat Eater video.
But yeah, like, you know, waiting.
Yeah, the elk are like coming from there, right? Where they're protected in one side, and then they come over into the other side, and then they're not protected, right? So you can hunt them there. You know, of course, what's the difference there, right? So,
right. So the law.
But again, I think, you know, I think if you're following the law, you're following what that area of the year says, like you're doing what the people who are out there who are trying to preserve and protect these, you know, the nature of our planet. Yeah, I don't know. But then I see your point where like, okay, well, yeah, but in like, you know, in like areas in the Middle East, you can like kill your wife if she, you know, talks back to you. Right.
Just because the law's made doesn't
just because the law's there, can you like follow it? Right. Does that make it right? Well, yeah.
Right. And the people who, you know, a law's not always made in a genuine manner or what people say it is for. Right. It is just made like especially with I think hunting and conserving. I think a lot of things get pushed through, and if you don't explain things well to people, maybe they can vote on it. It can just be over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we don't want anyone fox hunting anymore.
Yeah,
and then someone comes up to you and say, hey, you know, there's all these horses, and the fox is terrified before it dies, and they don't even eat the thing, and it's just some hobby, and. Yeah, it's scared, and maybe you might go, yeah, you know, I'm not going to vote for that, I guess. You know, you have no one to talk to you about any part of it.
Right, exactly.
You know?
So you're getting one-sided.
Right. And then all of a sudden the law is made, and it's just been, someone has explained it to you in a weird way, and then.
Right.
But.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I think basically what Clay and Steven said was right. Right. It's like, if you're not going to tell the story in a way that you want it to be told, so that way people understand your point of view,
right.
Then they're just going to make up their own point of view.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's better to be honest about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And that way the truth is there, right? People can, they're still going to judge you, you know, like people judge me because I've not put, you know, like a clamp on my knives when I'm drilling holes, you know, like it doesn't, like people are going to judge you no matter what. So, but if you like say why you're doing it, then at least you've like presented your perspective, right? This is my perspective. This is why I'm doing it. This is the way I feel. This is what's going on. You know, you're not trying to hide something. You're trying to go around something. You're not trying to break the law in a way that people don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one more example. I think they gave just on a separate podcast about how a state will come in and put something on a ballot and say, do you want to allow trophy hunting of this one thing? So it has a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. But he's like, what they don't tell you is it's illegal to leave, you know, the body behind, the meat and stuff behind. So you think you're voting on one thing, like, oh, I don't want them to just kill deer and chop their head off, right, or just, you know, and leave. Right. Like, that sounds bad. But he's like, for one, it's already illegal to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take the body. And he's like, if you put it that way, yeah. But he's like, do I want to harvest the resource and have the meat and everything and every part of it? Yes. Do I also want to keep the head and maybe mount it and maybe have, you know, this thing, have a trophy? Yes. He's like, so it, you can have both. You right. can also want to have a memory of your hunt or keep the, you know, the horns or not the horn, you know, the antlers or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And does that mean I'm worse because I want to keep even more of the animal? Like,
right.
But if you do ask, you know, regular people who live in a city, you know, or whatever,
yeah,
millions of people in New York City, they don't, for one, they probably don't even want you to hunt anyway, but then like, trophy hunting, no way. But he's like, well, that's not really a fair way to put it. And then all of a sudden, then it's in the law.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, shit, there's nothing we can do about it because it's been framed in an unfair way.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, I mean,
that's politics. That's lawmaking. That's
politics. Yeah, exactly.
That's everything's framed and they won't tell you everything. Yeah.
Right. So I guess, like, again, their point, right? You know, if you're not telling your story the way you actually do it, then people are going to make it up and people are going to believe what everyone else is telling them. So you might as well tell it as truthfully as possible. And like I said, I was not surprised that they were trapping and killing wolves. Like, when I saw wolf management, I was like, okay, it's meat eater, Clay Newcomb, wolf management. There, that's wolf killing, right? That's like, to me, that was actually a perfectly fine title because it was like, because it actually described it as like, how do we manage the wolves in this area? You know,
yeah,
but management is like the killing, right?
So yeah.
Wolf trapping and killing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, from what I got from it and what I listened from what they showed in the video, I got that, like, yes, they were trying to manage the population of wolves in that area to help out the people in that area. Now, it wasn't going to last forever, but maybe for a season it would help. And then they would repopulate, and then maybe they'd have to come back. I'm saying that's what I got from it. That's what I heard from the video when I watched and what I listened to what them say. Now, maybe I wasn't paying attention to the video super clearly the whole time. Like, maybe he said something, but that's, you know, I kind of understood that. Like, yeah, that's what I got from it, right? That he was like, he is there doing it as a way to, like, harvest the pelt. I knew he was doing that as well. So he's going to get something out of killing them. He's not just killing them and then throwing their bodies away, right? He's like using that resource to make.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might throw the meat away.
You're not
going to
eat
dog.
You're not eating
or you know, something else will eat it probably. You throw it in the lake and fish
But take advantage of the resource, right? If you're killing it, people are paying you to kill them, but you're also getting something out of it, right? Well,
getting money. Money.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of people don't like that. Just the, you're just doing it for money? Oh, yeah, that's why we do most things. But people don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's not doing it for nothing. You know, like, there's a reason why he has the job where he can afford the traps and go out in the boat and the whatever and the time to do it. He's, you know, there's got to be some pay for it. I wasn't shocked. Like, I kind of knew what that was. And I still watched it. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Cause, you know, like, I want to hear their perspective. Cause I know that their perspective is like, this is a perspective through respect to what we do and what the people who do what we do, the way we want to tell their story. Mm. And, like, that's why I really like, you know, when I've watched, I haven't watched a ton of Meat Eater, but when I do, like, you know, I like that sometimes they don't get anything, right? Or sometimes they'll see something, like I forget, there was like an Alaska bear hunt where
Steven
was like, yeah, they don't take the shot, right? Because they're just enjoying seeing the bear in its natural habitat. Like,
yeah,
I don't need to take this shot right now. Like, I can see it in my scope. I'm here. I've had the experience. I've had the hunt. I've done everything I need to do. And I don't need to take the shot, right? So, like, I like that they're just real people who hunt, you know, and enjoy hunting and enjoy the resources that they can take and enjoy the meat and, you know, want to tell that story through that lens, right? And that they're, like, different, right? Some of them like it more. Some of them do different stuff, like you said, the different, you know, some of them do conservation and preservation and stuff. So it's a very honest channel. I like that about that channel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
One last thing that's kind of connected, but not really. I was watching the YouTube Live Knife Outpost. I think that's what it's called. It's the Fiddleback Forge weekly sales. They do a video, like a live podcast video, about the knives that they have to sell each week that are made from Fiddleback Forge.
Yeah.
Andy Roy and I can't remember the other guy's name, but he's their main kind of salesman guy. And I was watching yesterday, I was kind of commenting and stuff, and Andy, a buddy of his who's another knife maker, mentioned a Workbench Con. He was like, oh, you should come to Workbench Con. Apparently Workbench Con is at Cobb Galleria, which is the same place that the Blade Show is. and he was like, oh, sounds cool. Like, you know, what does it cost? He was like, $800. He was like, nah, like, I'm not going to work. I'm not paying $800. He was like, I can go to other places at the other conferences at the Cobb Galleria. That's a lot cheaper. Right? Like, I'm not going to pay. He was like, I could buy a rifle for $800. I'm not paying a ticket to go to Workbench Con.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. But yeah, apparently he's like a big hunter he's like, I could buy my wife a rifle for $800.
For sure. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Well, I think it's, I don't know. I think that it's important to think about these type of conversations, especially as content creators and, you know, think about what we put out there and, you know, it's everyone wants to judge somebody, you know, and I just think we need to be careful about judgment. You know, like no one is sinless, right? Let ye who is without sin cast the first stone. So,
in thy glass house.
In thy glass house.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we don't really do controversial stuff on our channel.
Right. Because
that'd be annoying to constantly just comments about that shit all day. It would drive me nuts. Right. Like, all right, yeah, shut up. I get
it. Yeah.
Leave it alone. But, all right, recommendations. Yeah. I just had, oh, okay. It's a very, very random one. If I will say don't, there's this thing called the strum stick.
Uh-huh.
It's a instrument that's a dulcimer. So it's the frets are set up in a way where they're all, their tagline is never play a wrong note.
Right.
So you can kind of go up and down. Sounds a little bit like a banjo. It's got three strings, but it's really cool. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, you should get it and you can start playing music in, you know, like a minute.
Right.
I'm like, oh, if you've never been able to play an instrument, I wouldn't do that because it's cheap.
Okay.
It's like only learning ukulele or something. Like, it's fine. And this, right. As a guitar player, I guess I'm being biased, but like, learn a real instrument. And then, if you do play guitar already, right. Try to get a strum stick. I'm trying to buy one, but I can't. I'm trying to find like a used one.
Mm.
Because they're like $235 new.
Dang.
Yeah, all so right. So if you have a strum stick and you don't like it, I'll buy it from you for under $150.
So your recommendation this week is to learn how to play guitar and then buy a strum stick.
That's right.
That's right.
If you play any string instrument, get a strum stick because it's so much right. fun. And you can make it sound really good. Beginners, it sounds kind of lame.
Right.
But if you can play the guitar already and work it, it's like instant. And one of the reasons I'm going to buy it is to have another instrument for the channel to play music on. Yeah, it's got such a nice sound. It sounds kind of like a banjo guitar slash thing. So it's our same type of music. I'll play it in the somewhat same way, you know, but I'll just have another thing to quickly write and play music.
Right, yeah.
For the channel when we need something. So.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Look it up.
Okay, cool. My recommendation this week is the movie, The Creator. So let's see. The Creator by who is it?
The guy who did
Gareth Edwards. What's that?
I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, it's not him. Sorry. That was Rebel Moon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard it wasn't great.
No, I actually really liked it. It's always tough when you're like watching a movie and they're like trying to make an antagonist that you don't really agree with that should be an antagonist, right?
Uh-huh, right.
They're like trying to make the bad guy somebody that you're like, yeah, but they have a right to do what they're doing, mm-hmm, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that this movie, although it did lean toward like one direction, it kind of, I feel like, let the viewer determine that somewhat and kind of played somewhere between the lines of like,
okay,
who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. And as far as like visual effects, I thought it was fantastic. Like really cool visual effects, with all, like, there's tons of robots, you know, artificial intelligence robots and stuff in the movie. I thought they were really good. You know, they were like, they just seemed like real people, you know? And I think that was kind of the point, that like the robots were not real people, but you know, they had the, you know, kind of just the same flaws, the same good stuff and the same bad stuff as normal people, you know?
Yeah. Apparently, Weta worked on that, did a lot of stuff for him.
Yep. Yeah, I actually watched a video about the effects specifically. So it was like the director sat down with two other effects guys and talked about it. And, you know, the way they did it was basically they just filmed the movie with normal actors. And then all the actors that they wanted to be robots, Weta just digitized, like made them into robots.
Oh, cool.
So they didn't actually like wear, you know, like suits with dots and stuff on them. They didn't do motion capture. They just
didn't do that.
It was
anymore.
All visual effects afterward. Yeah. That's funny. So like all the, like, you know, there's like this one scene with like this grandmother walking down the street, you know, kind of walking like a grandmother does with her arm around a child. And it's like, it's a robot grandmother, you know, a little, and then like a little human child, like walking along. And then, you know, another one where there's like a like a kind of a nanny robot, like opening up a candy bar for, you know, giving it to a child. Right. And so there's like, there's a lot of these just like normal things. And the director was talking about, there's like one scene where you have a robot and it's got like a basket with a bunch of seeds in it, you know, kind of like it's going through grain and getting out the chaff or whatever. It's just like, and it's a close up of the hands going through and kind of picking through the seeds. And he was like, you know, if you would storyboard that, right, it would be like, okay. Or if you'd say, I want this scene in here, you know, it's got to be a robot's hands and going through grain or whatever. You know, it was like that, the effort gone into that would make it not like, it wouldn't feel right. So that was like why he just wanted to shoot the movie, shoot everybody, all the actors doing the normal stuff they do, you know, capture some of that normal stuff. And then that makes it into like, you see, it's like robot hands doing it, you know, or you see like a, right, an AI with like the AI, like the human face, but with the robot back of the head type stuff, you know? So
can, is some of the, are some of the so robots, you can't, they don't have a human face, some of them.
Right. Yeah, correct. Some are, yeah, it's like different generations, right?
Can you imagine being, you don't get like written out of a movie or like cut out, you just get turned into a robot. Like, you gotta watch, right, exactly. Like, that was my scene.
Robot number one.
Yeah, I'm that robot. Robot two. What do you mean? It's just a robot. No, I was the person there. I had a really good scene, right. I thought.
Yeah, because there's like Ken Watanabe, the actor, he's one of the main characters in it, you know, and he's an AI robot, you know, but you get his face,
yeah,
and stuff. So that was cool.
The big money robot. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I thought it was really good.
And yeah, one last thing. Have you watched Shogun yet?
I have not yet. Because I don't think I have the
Hulu. I think they're giving out a free thing right now on Hulu. So try to get a month. Dude, it's so good. I haven't seen the third episode, but I'll suggest that again too. Everyone watch, go watch Shogun. So nice. Good.
Right on. I guess we'll have to talk about our next EDC book club book next time around.
Yeah, we'll pick it. And
cool.
There you go.
All right, guys. Make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube. Check out our videos there. Again, like I said, the next video we have coming out, which will be the Viking YouTube Knife Maker Challenge Viking video, which will be out in about a month. When we finish this one, maybe we'll see if we can do something else. And if you have time, we can edit and put something out before that. But
yeah, we can do a little shorter.
Yeah, that'll be out. And check out Instagram. Like I said, I'll be posting some more pictures and things of knives and things for sale there that are going to be up on the Etsy website. So you can check out Instagram, The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can see what Devin's doing behind the scenes as well, The Art of Camera Guy. And then if you want to support the channel and the podcast and what we do for The Art of Craftsmanship, you can head over to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there as well. If you feel so inclined to do so, and if not, you can just hang out and listen to us and watch the videos we put out, because we like that too. All right, Devin, always a pleasure.
All right, brother.
Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save